DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
All right. So welcome to another episode of Not Another Podcast. I normally don't do the intro, so this is kind of odd for me.
There is no James.
There is no James. We have a Jim.
Yes.
But no James.
Yes. But we have a Bryce also, which is even more important.
And we have me. I am super excited for this. Getting you back on the show, getting back into it.
Dude, it's been a lifetime, it feels like. I mean, I know it hasn't been that long since I was able to, you know, hang out with you and James, but dude, like, the stuff that's been going on over here has been one level of madness.
You've had some pretty crazy stuff going on, haven't you?
I have, and you know, and you as well. I mean, I want to say this publicly, I am so sorry that you guys had to lose your dog not that long ago. I mean,
I appreciate that. It was very tough. Yeah. And I wish we could have had you on the show, because I know you've experienced loss in a different way than I have with your father.
Yeah, and but, you know, my dad never sniffed my balls. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say that on record.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know. But it's still like when you have a pet, it's weird. Pets are this thing that is just kind of there, and you acknowledge the fact that, yes, you know, you come home from work, they're excited to see you, and it's like, you know, you're almost annoyed at the fact that they're that excited to see you. Like,
yeah,
you know,
when they're in the way.
Yeah, and just like, oh, just move for just like a hot second. You don't understand. Their joy is spilling all over you.
Yeah, I saw this like a meme that was, they're a part of your world, but you're their entire world, and it's so unbelievably true.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Yeah, it's, and then when they, you know, go away, and you know, again, the whole time they're a constant. You know, when you come home, maybe they destroyed a part of your furniture or whatever, and that sucks. Or they made a stain on your carpet, and you got to clean that up or call somebody, to do so. you know, you have to sort of deal with those whole repercussions. But, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, well, actually, no, honestly, most of us just take that expelling of joy, exactly, for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you don't acknowledge the fact that, you know, you feed them, you comfort them, you know, you pet them, and that just gives them so much love. They're just like these balls of joy.
Yeah.
And when they're gone, like, that's when it finally comes full circle.
Yeah.
And you almost hate yourself because you're like, why didn't I just acknowledge this or appreciate it?
Should have showed them more that I care.
Oh, but you still, and the thing is, you know, and that's the hardest thing to realize is you did do a lot more than I know some pet owners do, but at the same time, like, you know, you feel like it's like the end of Schindler's List. You know, I could have done better, I could have done this, I could have done that.
Yep, exactly. That hindsight is what really kicks you
straight in the heart, you know.
Yeah.
So and how long did you have that dog for?
We had him for 5 years.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he was only five. He was about five and a half. So it was tough, but we knew that his quality of life was very rapidly diminishing.
Yeah.
So we knew that we were going to have to make that choice, and it unfortunately came to that point.
And it's never an easy decision to make.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Because it's like, there's some people out there that have pets and they want to just sort of keep them, you know. And it's like, it's a weird kind of, like, it's 50% selfish, 50% selfless.
Yep.
Because you want to keep them around because you want, you know, they're
you want that time with them.
Yeah, you want that time with them. And they're not just, you know, this four-legged, you know, shit machine that you have to sort of walk at, like, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, jumps up and, you know, and puts, you know, their tongue all over you whenever. It sounds like a porno, but whatever. But, you know, it's like you want to keep that being that you've come to love and accept as a part of your family around. And so how do you, and some people can't understand the balance of the two. It's like, you know, you're just going to keep them around to suffer longer as opposed to, and I hate to use this term, but pull the trigger and kind of, you know, give them a quiet,
give them peace.
Exactly. And that's, oh, it's
and,
never
an and easy we, season. We knew that it was going to get to that point because what he had was not curable. So he was not going to get better.
Was it a cancer or?
No, he had heart disease. So he kept going. This last time was the third time he had gone into heart failure.
Oh, Jesus.
And each successive time that they go into heart failure, their life expectancy gets much shorter.
Yeah. Because whenever you have to sort of recess it or whenever you have to sort of doctor the heart, you know, there's a part of it that's dying.
And yeah, there's a lot of stress on it.
Yeah, and so it's not like, you know, another part of the body, like the liver or the kidneys, they can kind of, like, regenerate.
Yeah, they can filter it, and yeah. So we had really started noticing that the medicines that he was on was really just, he wasn't himself.
Yeah.
And we kind of really realized right before this last time he went into heart failure that his quality of life was not what it had been. And then we had to ask ourselves, are we doing this for him or are we doing it for us?
Yeah.
So the difference with him and our last dog that when we had to put to sleep was we knew that this was coming with him, so we had time to process it differently.
Yeah.
So while it still hurts, it doesn't hurt in the same way as the last one, which was he was sick. The next day it was, you have to put him to sleep pretty much.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have this time. We could do a couple things with him. We took him to the coast. We had gave him some more memories for him and for us.
Yeah.
And that was really, really nice to be able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, so you went to public school as a kid. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to Catholic school, you know, and you learn about, like, you know, when you as a young Christian boy dies, you go to or girl, and that there was girls there as well, sexy girls.
they allowed women there? Oh. They didn't send them to the hills a month,
a couple of days out of the month. Yeah, they disappeared. That's weird.
They were cast out.
That's a long recess that they have right now.
Yeah,
but
geez, I haven't seen her. I haven't seen Elizabeth in a couple days.
Shut up, she's moody.
We shall not speak of her. She that shall not be named.
She's that one chick from Hogwarts. You just don't talk about them, right? Hogwarts Catholic.
First rule about Hogwarts is you don't talk about Hogwarts.
Second rule of Hogwarts is you're a Muggle. So, but yeah, it's like, you know. When I was that young, I remember the first time I lost a pet. I was still in Catholic school, and I remember I went into school the next day, and the teacher kind of pulled me aside, and she's just like, you know, are you okay? I'm just like, yeah, I'm sad. And she's like, well, why are you sad? Is there something wrong at home? I'm just like, well, yeah, my cat died, and you know, she was very sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And which is rare for a teacher. It was this weird empathy that you were, you know, showering me with.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I wondered, like, do the dogs and cats, do they go to heaven? And without even missing a beat, she's like, nope.
Yeah.
Not even like pausing for, like, well, there might be a little. No, they don't.
No, in their eyes, they don't have a soul, so they don't go.
Yeah. Which, and, like, you stare into the face of a dog, and you see the light, you see the enjoyment. Oh,
there's so much personality in each and every individual dog, cat. I mean, even some of the reptiles we have, we can tell their personalities.
Yeah. You know,
and it's
Some of them are moody. Horrible. Some of them are standoffish. They're just like people. Like, they have their own...
They're individuals.
Like, you know, yeah. So how is it that you can say that... I mean, to me, in my little kid mind, I was like, you know, if you've got an energy that moves you around and you decide not to like walk into a wall, but walk through you know, a passageway, or you decide to eat as opposed to not eat and then just fall over because, you know, you die of starvation.
Yeah.
There's a decision-making process going on there. That has to sort of compute into some level of this whole thing. And I tried my best as a little kid to kind of communicate this to my teacher. It's like, well, you know, the plants, you know, they also, you know, drink water. They also find sustenance of the soil and this, that, and the other. But they don't go to heaven either.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's... And the difference with that, too, is plants aren't cognitive. They don't have thoughts.
Are you sure, though? Because I just read a news story today that said that there's a study going on where they're trying to diagnose. They're trying to analyze whether or not trees actually have like a sense of a personality.
Yeah.
And
I've read some studies like that that talk about how they have, how they can kind of feel, but not in the same way that we do, because they don't have a nervous system like we do, obviously. But you know what I mean, that they're not cognitive. Yeah, they're not cognitive like us or a dog.
Yeah,
where they have some sort of thought pattern that we can see.
Yeah, my question always came up with, then, where does that line get drawn? Like, where is it that, okay, these organisms that are, like I said, fed by the sun in some capacities, they take sustenance through the rays, or, you know, the sunshine that allows, you know, photosynthesis to take place. Where is the line drawn between animals and plants that, you know, one is officially have a soul, and then at this point, like, sorry, you know, platypus, you just missed out by like 3 minutes. You should have been here. I'm sorry, traffic.
You didn't get on the boat fast enough, all right?
Exactly, yeah. Noah's like, fuck the platypus. Come on, they can swim.
They can swim.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, where does that line get drawn? And,
yeah,
you know, that, because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, actual human beings that I know that have zero personality, zero real human identity. They're basically just like talking wood. You know, and you drive down a like an old road somewhere, and you see a tree, and the tree will actually make you laugh because the way it's grown, it's got kind of weird, like it's got nipples or like, you know, boobs.
it's got an interesting shape.
Yeah, and just like there's no way that tree just happened randomly. Otherwise, it'd be like, you know, what's that game, Minecraft, where everything's very like six pixels, or, you know, whatever. It's very two-dimensional. That tree has personality. That tree knew that it was going to grow a certain way and evolved around certain situations. And those
it
of
adapted.
Us that, those of us that are blessed, supposedly, with souls, can sort of see that and acknowledge that. That, to me, is where the soul truly lives, as opposed to saying, like, you know, well, you know, you take food in your mouth and you know, take it out your butt, you know, especially after you eat, you know, a deep dish combo mambo from Little Caesars. You know, there's that. Then there's the trees that are just sort of there to sort of be our shade, and that's all that they do. I'm like, I have a hard time really, you know, buying into that whole thing.
Yeah.
So, well, let's just start this show off with, like, you know, okay, dead dogs and sadness.
Yeah. That was our entire last show. It was a pretty deep one.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, but let's get back to you about some of the stuff that you've got going on. I mean, you just got a wisdom tooth taken out the other day, and
speaking of tragedy and loss,
it's been a
whole ordeal. Right after I moved here, I had jokingly mentioned to my mom that I used to love liverwurst sandwiches, which my dad used to buy. Now, if those of you on the West Coast, I don't think you guys really have that out there, but liverwurst is like it's pretty much like a tube of meat paste.
So it's like Spam? I just imagine like a chub of meat, really in a plastic wrap.
It totally is. And you actually have to peel the skin off from the outside to be able to slice it through, because it won't stand on its own. You know, it's that pathetic. So I had sliced off me two hanks of a that's what you call it. It's a hank of liverwurst. And my dad used to make these, and he'd share them with me. And so it was like white bread, liverwurst, and of course, because you got to have a condiment, mayo, to make that creamy, non-real meat situation kind of go through your body a little easier.
You gotta jazz up the flavorless meat.
Exactly. You know, send in the girls. Send in the mayo.
It's so, the pimp cane of the sandwich.
It's hard out there for a sandwich. It really is.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there, and I made myself one, and I toasted the bread. I don't think this really, you know, constituted what took place, but I bit into the sandwich, and a chunk of one of my wisdom tooth just broke off. So as I'm chewing, I'm just like, that's a weird, like, bone-like consistency. That's not normal in liverwurst. It's processed to the nth degree. I didn't even know idea what part of the animal or what animal it actually comes from. It was the
probably
liver.
Several.
Exactly. It's like, let's take all the livers that we got.
It's like bologna. It's the castings.
Basically, yeah. So
it's bologna castings.
Bologna castings. No, that's not a good band name, unfortunately. But 100% accurate too. It's like, you know, yeah. I don't. It's going to be several different livers. I don't. Again, it's down to a ground down to a paste, and then shoved into a chub of meat log, and then sliced off a hank. So I put two hanks on a slice of white bread. I toasted it because I'm like, you know, I want to be classy about it. Slather on a grip of mayo. Not that light shit, because light don't make it right. Ugh, sorry, that's how
it tastes. Nasty.
No, yeah. There's something sincerely missing in light mayo. Oh, that's what it is. Flavor.
Yeah.
So
the actual mayo.
I bite into this thing. I'm chewing on it. I'm just like,
crunch,
that's
crunch.
That's a weird thing to have in there. So I reach in and I pull it out, and it's like a. It looked like my pinky toenail in the sandwich. I'm just like, that's strange.
That's not right.
My tongue goes back to this part of my tooth now that's starting to throb. I'm like, oh, a part of my tooth just broke off. So I had to go to the dentist, and it was like the most pointless dental appointment I've ever had. They're like, okay, so we're going to take a look at your teeth. Yeah, no, that needs to be fixed. We're
gonna needs to go.
We're going to refer you to an oral surgeon. They're not available until next month. I'm like, I have no ability to eat solid foods. So it's either liverwurst and, like, you know, porridge for the next, you know, 4 weeks, or you find a way
get to get some protein shakes, bro. Come on.
So sometime between when the tooth actually broke and when the oral surgeon was going to be available, the pain just started to die down. I was gobbling ibuprofen like they were like Tic Tacs, like just trying to get the pain to go down. And eventually it just sort of subsided. I was like, whatever, it's fine. And then I got this new job that I have currently where I'm working as a carpet scrubber for a certain company here in Lancaster. I don't give a fuck if they listen to the show. Certified carpet. You know, when it's certified, you're certifiable, I believe, is their motto.
Their motto.
Yeah. So I was waiting to get their actual dental insurance to cover me because it's only after, like, the first 60 days of working there, all your benefits sort of kick in. I'm like, that's sweet. So I'm waiting for that sort of thing to go down. And I'm sitting at home one night. I was eating another soft food, ice cream. And, again, weird kind of, you know, textural thing that sort of, you know, appears in my mouth. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I pull it out. Oh, it's the filling from the wisdom tooth that had the chunk broken off.
Oh, geez.
About 2 months prior. And now suddenly the bells are ringing, and it's like every day. So I had to call into my dentist and be like, you know, listen, I need to get this taken care of tooth sweet. And Malia is like, you know, she went to this other dentist here in Lancaster, and they took care of her problem, you know, right away.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can't wait to get referred to somebody. I need to go in there, show them the problem.
You need to go now.
Yeah. So I actually have if you want to, I will send you a picture. If you want to post this up on the Not Another Podcast
Facebook
website, and show you the chunk, the meteorite that is missing from my mouth.
Oh, God. I'll
send that to you.
All right.
You're like, oh, all right, I'll do it.
I've seen some pretty horrible stuff, so. I'm not too worried.
nothing against James. I love James. I've known him for years, but I love when you're behind the comm. Like when you're in front of the Enterprise, when you're the one calling the shots, like, oh, it's gross. Let's go for it. Let's do it anyway. Yeah.
Fuck it.
Muscle through.
Yeah. What's Why up? Not? Yeah, because, so do you still have all your wisdom teeth other than this one, or did you get some of them taken out before?
That's funny, though, because the last time, before I moved from Portland, I went to go see my dentist, and they took a look at my, the Badlands, that is my mouth, like the apocalyptic, what's that video game that everyone plays that's all about that, Outcast, Outlands,
something like that. I think it's Outcast.
Yeah, which whatever one it is, where like, you know, you're just wandering the wastelands and, you know, free roamer. Basically, the horror show that is my mouth. They took a look at it and they're just like, yeah, this needs to get fixed, like, toot sweet. So I go in. This was this last week. It was I called on Monday because my filling had fallen out during the weekend. And I had just gotten this new job. So I'm like, the fastest way to get fired from a new job is while you're still in training, you're going to
miss work.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was one of those things where, you know what, if this is what causes me to leave them, that's fine. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
This needs to get fixed too. It's sweet. So, I call in, to Malia's dental, group, and like, okay, we can have you in on Thursday. So I go in the next day to work. I put in a request for time off. They approve it miraculously. I'm not quite sure why. Actually, we'll get to that a little bit later. But so I go in on Thursday, and I'm sitting there, and I'm in the chair, and the whole time I got like a bag of, like, you know, frozen peas slapped to the side of my mouth. I'm not using it to cool down my cell phone. I'm actually
your phone.
Yeah, I'm using it to actually cool off my cheek. And so they bring me into the back office there, and they're taking a look at me, and they took an X-ray of just that area. And they're like, well, okay, you seem like you're in a lot of pain. I'm like, yeah, I've been in a lot of pain for a while. Like, well, we'll probably have you back next Wednesday. We're going to give you some antibiotics between now and then to kind of take the swelling down so the pain isn't so much there. I'm like, why? And like, well, because we might try and numb you up, but because you're in so much pain, it might not be enough for us to be able to go in there and get that tooth out. I'm like, I don't care at this point, because that pain of getting it ripped out of my jaw is going to be far less than what I've been dealing with.
The constant pain.
You know, and it's strange because here in Pennsylvania, heroin is like the number one drug, like off the charts. Like it's
oh, God, it's been really bad everywhere.
Yeah.
Have you seen how many people have been ODing on it? Because there's been a lot of bad batches out.
Those that couple that had like their 4-year-old in the back seat.
There was two other people that same week. That same week, there was three people that had OD'd. They all survived, but they had done almost the exact same thing, where they had left their small child in the car while they were doing it.
Well, what I had saw in the news prior was a story about how, for some bizarre reason, heroin dealers are cutting their shit with, so okay, you get like maybe like 50-50. So 50%, you know, pure heroin, 50%, and I'm not even kidding you, elephant tranquilizer.
Tranquilizer, yep, I saw that. And there's, I think there's some other stuff that they're cutting it with too. It's all about the bottom line.
But I mean, like, you know, first of all, unless there's a shipment of elephant tranks that just sort of like, you know, ran aground somewhere,
and
just
where do you get
up
it?
On the shores, like, just go up there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there with my nets, just like pulling in like giant bundle after bundle of elephant tranks. Why would you actually mix that with the heroin? Like, how drowsy do you need to be, motherfucker? Like, there's no reason for that whole thing. So, but yeah, that's the reason why these people were. You know, and it's, you're driving a car, first of all. That's endangering other people's lives.
Yeah.
The one story that I saw, it was a grandmother with her grandson in the back seat and her whatever boyfriend driving, and they almost careened into a school bus and narrowly missed it the last second and barreled their way into a parking lot.
Yeah.
And people sort of showed up, like, you know, what's going on here? To sort of see, you know, what was the situation. And so now, they took pictures of the couple.
Yep.
To sort of see, you know, what was going on. And they're both non-responsive. Paramedics showed up. They took them out of there. And, yeah, they're just jacked up on heroin. I'm like, good God.
Yeah. But now,
because of which, here in Pennsylvania specifically, pain pills are not given out unless you have a specific reason for it.
A lot of places are getting very, very stringent on opiate prescriptions.
Yeah. You know, and so now it's like, that was the reason why the first dentist I went to go and see, I'm like, I got a broken tooth, partially exposed nerve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to see an oral surgeon. Well, he's not available until next month. Not acceptable. I need something to sort of help, you know, at least piggyback me between now and when they can actually get this tooth taken care of. So,
yeah.
And it just turned into this whole, you know, waiting game. And then, like I said, the pain went away. And then once I got this whole thing ripped out, I went and got my prescription filled. And I've got, like, the most basic of basic state-run insurance to get a script of 20, they're generic pain pills or whatever. They're Narcos, which I think is, like, you know, generic for hydrocodone is what it is. How much do you think for the most basic of basic insurance, a 20 script of those pain pills, how much do you think that would cost?
Ooh, God. Because I know my insurance isn't great, but I know it's pretty good, so that would probably only run me like $20 or something.
Okay.
But I'm going to probably say, I'm going to go 70.
$70?
Yeah.
Incorrect. It was $1 per bottle. I had to have a bottle of antibiotics and a bottle of pain pills.
Wow.
A buck each for both.
Wow.
And the pharmacy was literally like two seconds down the road from the dentist that I was at. And they actually they filled it like quick and easy and everything else. But like in places like Oregon, where, like, you know, marijuana is like recreationally available, you wouldn't have to worry about that whole thing. Because if, you know, you ran out of your pain pill script and you're still in agony, you can just wander down to like the local, you know, 420 7-Eleven and problem's solved. So... Yeah, it's been a whole thing, and they had to break the tooth into multiple pieces.
Yep.
And they had to grind part of my jawbone off to get the one chunk off, because the bone because the tooth was already broken.
Mm-hmm.
The one piece came out fine, but the other piece that didn't come out was below the gum line. So I'm sitting there and I'm closing my eyes. I'm trying to, like, this whole, like, you know, Zen master, like, you know. Put your mind beyond the pain, put it someplace else.
Yeah.
I'm flashing back to memories from my elementary school days and my high school days and everything else, trying to find a different place. And then I hear her saying, no, it's below the gum line. We're going to have to give me that scalpel, because we're going to have to cut to get to it. I'm just like, okay, this is not good.
Yeah.
So, again, kept my eyes closed the whole time, and she's working, and it's numb. Half of my head, not my face, but half of my head was numb.
Yeah.
She gets in and she starts cutting. I'm just like, okay, that's okay. So she pulls it. I hear the scalpel get put down. And then she just, hand me the number four, number five or whatever. And all of a sudden I hear the drill start up. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
How numb you are. You, when you hear that drill start up, you're just like, oh, this is going to.
Oh, fuck. Shit's getting real.
Mm.
Yeah.
So she's she's like, you know, she was very good at what she did. This woman, she was from India. She's like 97 pounds, soaking wet. That was about it. And she's in there, and I can feel her arm against my body, kind of shaking, trying to get this bone to give just a little bit, or this tooth just a little bit. And finally, she got the whole thing out, and I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Like, I ran out of memories. Like, going. And at the very end of my memory bank, it was like 404 error, you know, file not found. Like, there's nothing left here for you. So she finally dug it all out. And when I told my work that I needed that day off, you know, usually they demand that you have at least 2 weeks notice. I'm like, well, I didn't plan for this to happen.
Yeah, it's an emergency.
And so I told the guy at the office, I'm just like, I need to have, you know, Thursday off. I know this is Tuesday. I'm not giving you very much notice, but this needs to sort of happen. And I'm sorry that this is much of an inconvenience, but it's kind of is what it is. And the guy I'm talking to is like, you know, well, do you need the whole day off or just, like, you know, part of the day off to sort of have that process done? And everything else. I'm like, do you want me driving a company vehicle and going into people's houses, hopped up on, you know, pain pills?
Yeah.
And, you know, barely conscious and dealing with the shock. Because, I mean, the shock afterwards, once that local wore off, man, it was a first scene.
Yeah. That's why I sent you a message asking if you were up for doing the show, because I know how fucked up I was after I got mine out.
Yeah.
But I got all four taken out at one time.
That's the way to do it.
I was lucky because my mom was a nurse, so she had really good insurance.
Oh, yeah.
So for mine, I was under anesthesia, so I was completely out during the entire procedure.
Yeah.
So I only had to deal with the pain afterwards. I didn't have to deal with them tugging on my fucking teeth. So I got really lucky with that.
Yeah. This is only the second wisdom tooth that I have removed. The other two also need to be removed. They are, one I know has a cavity in it. It might've been the one that got removed. I'm not quite sure, but I know one of my, wisdom teeth that I had prior to the operation does have a cavity in it. So it needs to be get gone.
Yeah.
And I still have the other two that are in there. The first one that I had removed, this was like, I was like still in high school. And my mom didn't have the best of insurance, and this is back in like the 90s. And so we go to the dental office, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to remove it here in house because we just have the one to remove because that's the problem causer.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm trying to do the same thing, but this guy, and it was a dude, it was a fairly big dude too, and he's doing the same thing. And so I don't know if it's like the fluoridation in the water, you know, putting more, you know, fluoride in my teeth. Or just the fact that I drink a lot of milk as a kid, so my bones are strong.
But well, when I was getting mine out, they were talking about the risks of it, and they can grow into the jaw as well as there's a nerve that runs down your jaw.
Yeah.
And the nerve from the tooth can wrap around it, and it can cause you can actually lose all feeling in your jaw.
Yeah, you can get paralysis in part of the
there's
face.
There's some really serious things, and that's why it's a big deal to do it younger. The younger you are, the less developed it is.
Yeah.
And that's why they ended up doing all four of mine, is they're like, let's not take any chances. They're just about to start coming in. Let's yank these fuckers and get them done.
Yeah, before they get a solid chance to literally take root.
Yeah, literally.
I've heard horror stories, and I've seen pictures online of wisdom teeth where the roots were so long that they actually wrapped around like the roots of the tooth themselves, not just the nerve, but the root wrapped around the jaw, and they had to break it off into pieces.
Yep.
And like, you know, they call it oral surgery, but I mean, it's not as bad as like, you know, having like your pancreas or your appendix removed.
But they're not performing open heart surgery, but it is still a very rough procedure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first one I had removed wasn't that bad, and it was when I was still in high school. And I could when you hear the sound of a tooth breaking in your head, you can have earphones and you can be listening like, you know, like Slayer or, you know, whatever it is that
but
you listen to sort of calm down.
It's coming through your bones, so you feel it.
It's in you. Yeah. It's in you more than the music is.
Yep.
And so hearing that bone break and everything else, and this guy actually had to stand up a little bit higher to sort of get a better vantage point to yank it out because he was pulling with such force, he was afraid that when that tooth finally gave way, he was going to break some of the other healthier teeth that were in my mouth at that same time. So anyway, he finally gets his tooth out. This is the first one. When he finally got that first wisdom tooth out, you know, he's like, okay, so I'm going to send you to the pharmacy, which is, you know, maybe 5 minutes down the road from where our you know, dental office is, and I'll call ahead and get your prescription ready for you. Well, for whatever reason, we get there, and we're at the pharmacy, and I'm sitting there, and we're waiting, and 10 minutes goes by, and 15 minutes goes by, and I'm still kind of numb from the local, which was, you know, doing its job, but 45 minutes in, the local wore off. And then that pain and that shock and all that stuff sort of hit me in waves. And I'm sitting there. I remember sitting in a chair next to the magazine section of this pharmacy. And I'm rocking back and forth, waiting for them to finally, you know, you know, give us the prescription. And I was talking to Malia, my wife. She was the one that told me that, you know, the reason why pharmacies take so long for the most part is because they're waiting for the insurance company to call back and say, you know, we'll pay for it. Otherwise, yeah. It's going to be, you know, cash out of pocket. Because otherwise, I mean, how long does it take for you to go in the back, find the box marked Percocet, count to 20, throw in a little,
yeah.
little container, and hand it to me?
That's hand it like to
a,
him. Yep.
A 2-minute exercise at the most.
That's the one good thing about the technology that we have now is that stuff's instantaneous.
Yeah. So I remember, yeah, when that local wore off, and I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I am holding my own head, and my mom's there, and I can sort of hear her. It was like I was almost underwater. I was under so much pain, I couldn't quite hear her. Because I was more focused on trying to get my head away from the pain. And dental pain is the worst pain there is, because it's right next to your head. The nerve center has got a very short trip to go from tooth to your brain that tells you you're in agony right now.
Yep. Yeah, so, when I got mine out, I slept like the entire first day away, because they did it in the morning. And they gave me some pain pills. I can't remember what they gave me, but I took one of them and it made me violently sick. So I had 4 wisdom teeth out and I was throwing up, and I was like, yeah, I'm dealing with the pain. So I didn't take any pain pills because it made me so sick.
And in those situations too, you're not just dealing with the pain of the tooth. I mean, you obviously are, but at the same time, you've got sutures, fresh sutures in the back of your mouth. And when you throw
nice
up,
open
you're,
wound.
Bringing
yep.
up like, you're bringing up like bacteria and stuff from your stomach. So if one of those little bad boys gets in there, you can get dry socket. And I don't know if you've ever felt dry socket, but oh my God, that's like root canal times 20. And it's like the worst kind of pain imaginable.
Yeah, they gave me there was a rinse that I had to use to help control the bacteria in those wounds. It was like an antibacterial wash or something. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that was like 2 days ago for me. This, like I said, at the beginning of the show, it's been fun. So let's get into some other, more entertaining stuff. I had talked to you guys, briefly. I was trying to get on earlier, maybe a week or two ago, but you know, for whatever reason, the schedules didn't, work with it. So I'm working this new job for a carpet cleaning service called Certified Carpets, and I'm what you call a hydro technician.
Which is a fancy.
Yeah, and it's a fancy term for floor scrubber. That's pretty much it. And so there's two brothers that run this branch. And I actually went to high school with their youngest brother. And so when I went in for my interview, they're like, so what do you know about certified carpenters? Like, well, I know that I went to high school. I actually played football with your youngest brother and, you know, shower with him. So I know I've seen him naked. So... if you want any blackmail material, just let me know. So we're going through the whole process, and they note that I have I got a tattoo on my wrist, and it's a Japanese symbol for serenity, and it's because, you know, when I do comedy, you know, sometimes I get nervous. I look at that; it's like a, sort of like a visual cue to be, okay, just remain calm, have fun, do your thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not allowed to have any visible tattoos. So I'm like, okay, well, I can just, you know, probably cover that up. And the first guy that I talked to during the interview didn't realize that I also have a piercing in my left ear, which is a hoop piercing that I had kind of looped through the top part of the cartilage in my earlobe. So it's not even like it's like dangling down. It's very hard to see. And because my head's kind of, you know, fat and gelatinous or whatever, it kind of covers it for the most part. So unless you're really looking for it, there's nothing that's going to sort of say that this guy's got, you know, an ear piercing. Mm-hmm. The first guy that I interviewed with didn't see it, didn't mention it at all. He did mention the tattoo, so he's like, you have to cover that. I'm like, well, that's fine. And so the second guy that I talked to, when I got called back for my second interview, he's like, well, I see you got an earring there. You're going to have to cover that as well. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I'm willing to do that. That's fine. I mean, that's your policy. That's your policy. And I want to work here. You know, I want to work for you guys, because I mean, it's a commission-based job, and so we go out, we do everything from, like, you know, mom and pop stores to homes to, like, big industrial complexes to high schools and elementary schools, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the guy that I was talking to is like, so what's the story with the earring? Can you remove it? I'm like, well, actually, I can't. It was a piercing that belonged to a friend of mine from high school. And a different high school from the one I went to, but either way, it was a different part of Pennsylvania. And while he was, I think it was like a sophomore or junior in high school, he came down with leukemia, and he died. And his best friend, who is all, to this day one of my friends, my buddy Ed Morris, he was kind of willed to him. This guy Joe Matko, he's the guy that passed away. Joe Matko, when he passed, had like this it's like a tackle box, like a fishing tackle box, filled with like piercing different gauges. Oh, capture beads, the whole thing. As if, like, you know, his hobby was just, like, piercing people.
Yeah.
And so Ed, you know, was like, you know what, for all the friends of Joe, I'm going to give you one of his personal earrings, which, I mean, they obviously, we had sterilized before. I just didn't just like, you know,
yeah,
still warm. That's weird. Just throw it in my ear.
Oh, God.
So it was originally just a piercing that hung down at the bottom of my lobe, but after a while, I lost the capture bead. Because, you know, I'm hard on things. I'm hard on pants. I'm hard on, like, you know, people that live with me and deal with me on a daily basis. You, for example. You know, I'm hard on you. But still, it's like, you know, the capture bead got lost. I didn't want to lose that piercing because it meant a lot to me. So I usually just flip it up upside down so that the open part was going to be kind of hugging the inside of the lower part of my lobe. Well, sooner or later, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to get that part of my ear pierced so I can actually have it run through, so it's a part of my ear, it's a part of me, so that, yeah. Joe's always going to be there with me. So when I told them about this whole story, the guy that I was talking to was like, well, that's a very moving situation. Obviously, it's not just like, you know, a fashion statement, you know, it's a memorial. Exactly, it's a memorial to my friend Joe, who's no longer with us. So I mean, if you need me to cover it, that's fine. If you want me to take it out, that's only going to happen with a pair of scissors, and it's going to be over my dead body, unless I need to have an MRI on my head done. It's going to pull out of my ear either way. So, well, we don't have to go to that route. We'll take care of that way. So, I'm going through my training here at this carpet cleaning company. And a couple of times, I would have to put a Band-Aid over it. And nothing draws more attention to something that you can barely see than a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Because people are automatically like, so what happened to your ear? What's going on over there? I'm just like, oh, I had a lobe reduction. My family, we come from a bunch of large lobe people.
So we come from this place called Vulcan, and when we immigrated to the United States, they made us do some body modifications so we fit in a little more.
Every 7 years, I have to have a lobe reduction, and so it's the Band-Aid to cover that whole thing. So a couple of times I had forgotten to cover it, which is on me. It's fine. It's their policy. It's their job. It's their company. I want to be a part of that whole thing. I got to sort of jump through those hoops. Now, the training that I went through, I was training with a bunch of different people, and a lot of the people that I was training with weren't really giving me a whole lot of information as to how to do the job, how to do a presentation in front of a customer. We got three different levels of service and this, that, and the other. So it was just a frustration to me, because every time I would come back from a job, if I didn't have a Band-Aid over my ear or something covering my wrist, they'd get on my ass about that whole thing.
Yeah.
So the one day I'm there, I'm training with this guy named Will, and Will's been there for like 10 years, and he's about, I'd say 9 years younger than I am. And went to the same high school as I did and everything else. So we've got this like kindred spirit sort of thing going on, and he's got an awesome sense of humor. He and I together are like Hawkeye and Honeycutt. Like the two of us together are just, we're hilarious all day, every day.
Nice.
And so I'm, one morning I get up, I get to work, and I'm filling up his van with water. I'm dumping his dump tank and everything else. And one of the brothers that owns the place comes over to me and says, "Hey Jim, what's going on?" And again, I've been worked, you know, to the bone at this place. Because I mean, scrubbing floors, you know, it sounds like an easy job. Well, you just bring a vacuum cleaner, just bring a steam cleaner over some carpet. How hard can that be? Turns out it's actually really difficult, and it's very, you know, physically demanding. So I was kind
of there's different types of floor cleaning. My facility that I work at just had the floors like resurfaced, so they had to basically go through and scrape the entire floor to flatten it out. And it's a big area.
Are they hiring right now? You know?
I don't. If I see them, I'll ask.
Please do, because, I mean, at this point... Okay, we'll get to that point, because, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
This is a long, long setup to just a horrible situation.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's... One day, I show up to work, I'm burned out all the to the umpteenth degree. You know, I got a kiddo at home. We just put her in a daycare. She's trying to acclimate to that whole thing. She's freaking out. She's not used to having other people that aren't any direct family members watching her.
Yeah.
And so I get the stress of, you know, leaving her alone, you know, for, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. And some days my job, it's like I get there at 7:30 in the morning. I don't get home until like 8 or 9 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
So it's a long ass day and of you know, exhausting work. So anyway, one of the bosses comes over and says, "Hey, Jim," this guy named Tony, or T-Bone, as I call him. he's like, you know, "Hey, Jim, so what's going on?" I'm like, he's like, "How's it going?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's going." You know, it's just like a standard middle-of-the-road kind of response.
Yeah.
And he, like, stops. He's like, you know, "Wait, what did you say?" I'm like, "Well, it's going. You know, it's a thing. You know, I'm working with it." He's like, "You know, it seems like, you know, your attitude lately has been, I don't know, like, you're not happy to be here or anything else like that." I'm like, "Well, yeah," I tried telling him about the issues that I have. And what I'm trying to, you know, work through. And he's like, "You know, it seemed to me like the one day you came back here to the office and you're working with one of the other guys." This other guy that I've been working with, he's been there for like 16 years. So his training version was, "You do all the work. I'm going to stand out my van, smoke a bunch of cigarettes. And then when you're done, come back. I'll have the customer, you know, pay for the job. I'll get all the commission for that job. You're getting paid $11 an hour. So if I work fast, I'm doing myself a disservice. If I work slow, I hear about it because I'm not working as fast as I should be."
Yeah.
So it's a catch-22 kind of thing. So I was kind of frustrated about that whole thing. So he's like, "You know, it's just going. Is that really your attitude at this point?" I'm just like, "Well, you know," and like at a moment in my head, I'm just like, "You know, you can either lie to this guy and be like, you know, nope, everything's fine. I'm just dealing with the whole situation, everything else." I'm like, "You what? No, Jim, be honest with the guy. Be honest. Just tell him how you're feeling right here, right now, about what you're going through." So I'm like, "Okay, here's the thing, T-Bone Burnett, T-Rhinosaurus Rex. I'll be honest. I feel like there's a lot more attention being paid to my ear piercing and my tattoo as opposed to the actual training that I'm receiving. You know, and I told him about, like, you know, working with this other guy the week before, when I'm doing all the grunt work and he's getting all the commission and I'm getting just paid hourly, and yet he's giving me nothing really educational wise in return for that whole thing, and how that kind of frustrated me. But before he could actually say anything else, I'm just like, "But I understand. I'm the new guy. I'm the grunt. I'm the FNG. I'm the fucking new guy. My job here is to sort of, you know, pick up the slack, deal with the hard parts, and move on with your day." And I never let any of that frustration show to the customer. I never took it out on them. I just basically absorbed that as, you know, the situation I'm dealing with and moved on. But I will say, though, that the whole, you know, I have to have a wristband on my wrist to cover my tattoo and a band-aid over my ear. You know, I understand that's your policy. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's, you know, it's how you guys run your ship. So I'll do my best to kind of adjust my attitude to kind of accept that. And Tony's like, "You know, that we would really appreciate that." I'm like, "But I can't tell you that there's not going to be days where I show up here, and the fact that I don't have, maybe I ran out of my last Band-Aid yesterday. I was so exhausted, I forgot to buy more. Now I got to, you know, make sure that I have something to sort of cover up my ear. Like maybe like some wrestling headgear or whatever, like a helmet of some sort to sort of cover my ear piercing.
Come in with a football helmet."
Exactly. And that, you know, now all of your customers are like, "You know, it's really nice of Certified Carpet to hire the retarded and have them, you know, cleaning our floors."
I love that they're helping the community, giving these people jobs.
Exactly. They're not complaining about the job that I do. Because, I mean, who's going to complain about a retarded person cleaning their floors?
Yeah.
It's hard for him. His peripheral vision is narrow because of the fact that he's got a helmet on his head. So, you know, let's celebrate this company for, you know, the things that they're going to do for the community. There's going to be days where I come in, I'm just not going to be thrilled about having to jump through these hoops. But, again, it's part of the process. I get that. I'll do my best.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I won't be happy, but I'll do it.
So I stood up for myself. And I said that to him. And try to be as respectful at the same time as possible. Well, I think it was maybe either that week or the week afterwards. We're only supposed to work Monday through Friday. We occasionally work on Saturdays. If there's usually an industrial job, like a company that needs their floors cleaned, and they can't have us come in there because they're running shop.
Yeah, their Monday production hours or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. So I worked there for a couple of weeks, and then they're like, okay, Jim, we're going to send you out on your own. Get your own van. You're going to have nobody with you running shotgun. You have to go out. You have to go to this company. You have to do this job. And, you're going to meet with so-and-so. He's going to show you the places you need to clean. And then you just get the job done. And then you move on to your next one. I'm like, that's sweet. So to me, in my mind of minds, I'm thinking, well, that means that you're sending me out on my own. Which means I do this job. Commission-wise, if you've been there for more than, I think it's 2 years, you get like 20% of the commission that you make, which is, mm-hmm. depending on the size of the job, can be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So I get sent out on this job on a Saturday to do, to clean this company's floors because they're all closed. I do the job. I get done. I move on. I meet up with this other guy who actually I also went to high school with and played football with and shower with and saw his dick. So there's that whole thing. And my buddy Sam.
A lot of penis showing around here,
you can't swing a dead cat in this town without hitting three people whose dicks I've seen, like, recently. it's bizarre. Lancaster is the city of dicks. Portland's the city of roses. Crisscross, applesauce, whatever it is. So, anyway, so I'm talking to Sam. I told him about the whole situation. He's like, okay, well, so it sounds to me, it sounds to Sam like, you're on commission now. So we got done with our jobs for the day, and he calculated the whole thing out. So, I'm willing to split the commissions for the jobs that you and I did together because I had my own van, I had my own wand, I was doing my own sections of the same job. Sam was getting a commission, so mm-hmm. that would dictate to me that I was going to get my own commission. So I'm like, all right, sweet. That sounded good to me. Sunday comes by, I get a chance to sort of relax or recharge and everything else. Monday comes around. Again, I'm back with Will. And I'm filling up his van in the back. I got my fucking Band-Aid on. I got my fucking... I had to go to Kmart and buy wristbands. And the other ones that they had say NBA on them. So somebody is like, so why are you wearing an NBA wristband? I'm like, oh, I'm one of the 76ers. I'm an alternate. With Myrtle winning by a lot or losing by a lot. They send me in. Very rarely does that happen. So I'm sitting there, I'm gassing up, and I'm watering up Will's van, waiting the whole thing happen. I see Sam, like, hey, Sam, how's it going? How's your weekend going on? He's got an in-ground pool being installed in his house. So he's got that whole thing to deal with. He's got a couple of daughters as well. We're shooting the breeze. And he's like, hey, man, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I just heard that you're only getting paid hourly for all the work that you did last Saturday. I'm like, wait, you mean just the jobs that you and I did together? Or like the job that I did by myself. He's like, no, the whole weekend, you're hourly. I'm like, that's not cool. So I go in and I meet with one of the other bosses there. Tony's the one guy, Joe's the other guy. And Joe's actually the easygoing guy to talk to. He's reasonable, he'll listen to you. A little spineless, but still, he's one of the family that owns this company.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, hold that thought. So I go inside. And I knock on Joe's door. I'm like, hey, Joe, you got a minute? He's like, yeah. So I go inside, I close the door. I sit down. I'm like, hey, man, so I talked to Sam, and he said that, this weekend it's only hourly. So is that true? He's like, yeah. Well, you're still in training. I'm just like, but you sent me out on my own. Like, normally if I'm out training with somebody, there's a guy there that's supposed to know how to do the job and does the job, and I'm there to sort of help. Usually what they call pulling hose the whole time. So I'm pulling the hose line behind them so they don't have to constantly try to get that out of their way.
Fighting it. Yeah.
But, this job is on my own. I did the whole thing from beginning to end by myself. The one job, I'm like, that's the one thing that I wanted my commission for, is that the one job that I did by myself, because there's nobody else that should have gotten that commission or could have gotten that commission. And it's, so why am I not getting that commission? He's like, well, we're not going to give you a commission until we feel comfortable enough for you to go out on your own. I'm like, that's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
Last Saturday. You sent me out. I had my own van. I had the whole thing, whatever. And so, again, I checked my tone. Daddy checked his tone. He was, I was trying to be an asshole. I'm just trying to get an honest, you know, answer from Joe about, like, why it is that this is the situation I'm dealing with. And finally, he's like, you know what? I'll talk to my brother, and we'll see about getting you the what he called the difference between your hourly wage and what your commission should have been for that job. I'm like, that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as an afterthought, I'm just, you know, what about this kind of behavior to me as a new employee that's doing all that I can? Everyone that's training with me is saying, like, this guy busts his ass. He's never just sitting on his, you know, his laurels. He's constantly doing something. You know, if he's not pulling lines, he's getting the pre-treater prepped. He's getting the other tools that we use ready to go so that, you know, as soon as that technician needs to use that tool, it's right there and
it's ready.
Why is it that I have to fight this hard to get what I feel is a no-brainer for a single job by myself? Why is it I have to work this hard? And what is it about that kind of mentality that's going to inspire me to be a better employee the next time around?
Yeah.
So that he didn't have an answer for it. So I'm like, all right, well, we shook hands afterwards at the very end. And I thanked him for, you know, going to bat for me and that whole thing. Again, trying to be as respectful as I could.
Mm-hmm.
I go out with Will. We do a couple of jobs. And as we're on our way back from our last job, Will's on the phone with the office. And he's like, what's that? Okay, I'll tell him. And he hangs up. He's like, so I guess you got a meeting with both Joe and Tony. As soon as you get back, I'm like, oh, fuck me, running in a rainstorm.
Yeah.
Because these guys aren't the kind of people that are like, you know what, we just want to pull you aside and tell you what an awesome job you're doing right now. And again, all they felt like, you know, my conversation with Joe was, this is just me standing up for myself. Being like, you know what, I'm not going to establish a situation where you guys can screw me outright and I'll be okay with it. I'm like, if I do the work, I deserve to get the pay for that job. Not just like, you know, your hourly training wage or whatever. So we get back to the shop. I get pulled into a side room, and Tony, who suffers from what I call terminal little big man syndrome. I'm sure you've met more than a couple of people in your life that have this exact same. Yeah. Where, you know, he obviously was picked on a lot, shoved into a lot of lockers as a kid. And now
he's the boss.
Exactly.
He's going to fuck with people.
He's like, one day.
Yeah.
You know, things are going to go my way. You know, Wilson Phillips style. I'm going to make it happen. And so Tony's in there. And Tony usually will not be the one to talk to you. He'll usually bitch at his brother Joe, who's a little bit bigger. Not by much, but a little bit bigger. And have Joe be the messenger that you have to sort of yell at. And you feel bad because Joe's the nice guy. Joe's the nice guy that you want to hang out and have a beer with. Tony's the guy that, you know what, I would still to this day find a high school, break into, and shove him into a goddamn locker. So I'm sitting down there with him the whole time. Again, wrist covered, ear band-aided. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm well covered. And so Tony's like, you know, you and I had a conversation a couple of days ago about some stuff. What do we talk about? I'm like, oh, fuck. It's going to be one of these, like, you know, I have to spoon feed you the ass raping that you're about ready to hand me.
Yeah.
I'm like, we met out at Will's van. I told you about how I was, you know, not happy with the fact that I got more attention being paid to my earring and my tattoo as opposed to anything else. And that's really what else do we talk about? I'm like, in all honesty, that's the only thing that really jumps to mind. He's like, think harder. I'm like, okay, you're really pushing it at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really know what it is that you're digging at this point. He's like, no, commission. I'm like, oh, yeah, well. As I told Joe that morning when I had that, you know, conversation, not a yelling match, but he's making it seem like I was, you know, I came in there like, you know, I'm Joe fucking Big Shot, given, you know, one of the managers, one of the owners, the business, because I feel like I'm being, you know, handed a short deal, which I was, but whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I told Joe, I'm like, you know, I understood that the fact that when I'm, you know, with somebody else, that is technically their job. I'm there to sort of learn from them doing their job. The couple of times I was with the other dude that was, you know, having me do the grunt work and do all the work from beginning to end, I sort of took it as a learning experience and sucked it up and dealt with it. And that was about it.
Yeah.
You know, but then you came in this morning and you talked to my brother, and the other brother, Joe, would not even make eye contact with me. He is that much of a broken man. His brother is obviously that much of an asshole. He's like, I know you're right, Jim. I can't say it out loud because, you know, he hits me when no one's around. I'm there with a battered woman And her husband's yelling at me because, you know, I made her feel bad.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, what do we say about, like, you know, when you're going to go ready for commission? I'm like, well, the last time you and I had a conversation, you said, like, the, I think it was like the second week of September was when I was going to start. You can say, I remember saying that. I'm like, well, actually, no. I just mentioned him the day, the time, the place that that conversation took place. Well, whatever. Regardless,
yeah,
you're not going to go out on commission until I'm willing to say that you deserve that commission. I'll send you out for a week by yourself, and you will not earn a commission until I feel safe and comfortable that you're able to do the job. And this guy, I swear to God, he has to jerk off to carpet samples. Like, he loves flooring to a degree. Like, I will never love a woman.
An unnatural degree.
Exactly. There's no way that I love a woman as much as this man loves
That tile. Fucking shag carpet. Oh, God.
Yes, yes. Oh, oh. Yes. Wool. Yes, natural fibers. Natural fibers. Say my name.
He just dreams about it. I bet his blankets are just pieces of carpet.
Malia, who, you know, my wife, she had the best thing, you know, to say possibly. You know, he's got little big man syndrome. Like, yeah, he's a little bit of a scrawny guy, so... You know, he's kind of like, you know, acting out because, you know, obviously he was picked on as a kid. So, you know what? I bet his wife beats him. I bet his wife hits him when no one's
around. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You know,
and then whenever he and I would do what we call role playing, where he pretends to be a customer and I have to pretend to be the technician. Oh, this is like torture to the ump degree, because he'll wait till the end of a very long day. He'd be like, hey, Jim, before you go home, would you come into the office real quick? We'll do some role playing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, for fuck me.
Yeah.
And he always refers to himself as Mrs. Jones. So when I told Malia that, she said, he wears women's clothing. He wears his wife's bra.
Oh, fuck yes. Anytime she's out, he's wearing her clothes.
I just imagine him in the mirror, just like putting on makeup. Like, you know,
would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
You know, and Tiny Horse is playing on a stereo not too far away.
Yeah.
There's some woman screaming from a dry well in his, you know, in his back room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's giving me, you know, all kinds of shit. And, okay, like, I understand that, again, I'm still technically in training, but when you sent me out on my own to do a job solo, who gets that commission?
Yeah.
And he's just like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm sorry, what part of that question did you not really understand? Like, if I go out to do a job with somebody else, that's their job. I'm there to learn. If I do the majority of the grunt work, that's part of the training. But if I'm there to do it all by myself from beginning to end, and that's it, who gets that commission? He's like, well, you know, you can basically take the whatever your commission would have been and sort of apply that to the hours you work. You know, that's like the EAV actually stopped himself because he knew I had led him into a trap that he could not get himself out of.
Yeah.
That pissed him off even more. And so I'm sitting there and I'm trying my best to sort of like, you know what, I need this job. I don't know, I have the privilege of just being able to say, you know what, fuck it, I'm out. I got a kid, I got a wife, I got a mom whose house I'm trying to fix up. I need to make this money somehow, some way. So I'm sitting there, I'm just gobbling this guy's just shit sandwich after shit sandwich, trying to be like, okay, this is, deal with this whole thing. And so, you know, you need to understand that, you know, we're the ones that decide when, if and when, you deserve to be a part of our team, which talking to the other guys that I was training with, they're all like, you know, we would love to have you. You need to be a part of this team. You are obviously capable of doing the job. You do it well and better than anyone else that we've actually been training prior to you being here. So they're not going to fire you, but at the same time, they don't want me standing up for myself because it's the last thing they need. Especially when you're dealing with, you know, little big man syndrome, T-Rex, tiny dick, whatever the fuck. And he drives a huge truck, too. Like a huge go fuck yourself Ford, you know, compensator, the 250. Like, it's just
I love the new model of the Ford compensator.
This is a license plate that just says your mom on the back. Yeah.
With the truck nuts.
Yeah. Well, someone has to carry them. So anyway, we get to the end of the whole browbeating and everything else. And he's like, I want to know if you be a part of the team or not. I'm just, you know, I want to work this job. I'm doing the best that I can. But at the same time, like, you know, I feel like, you know, if you're going to send me out, he's like, time out. And he actually did like the whole time out sound, like, you know, the NFL.
The T.
Yeah. It's like, time out.
Jeez.
You don't get to think. You get to, you know, do the job that you're supposed to do, and that's it. And when, if and when you're ready to become a part of our team, we will make that decision. So guess what? Tomorrow, this was like a, I think it was like a Monday. And was it Monday or a Tuesday, whatever. Tomorrow, you're off. And in my mind, I actually had a version of me standing behind me, yelling all the things at him that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, where is it? Where is it? Where's what? Where's the elementary school that you fucking peeked at? Because you're obviously a, just a trifling bitch-ass motherfucker that does not deserve my time or my fucking work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's like, you're off tomorrow. And so the internal me was just like, yay, day off. Is, you know, and during that time, I want you to think about whether or not you want to come back here and be a part of the team. I'm just
it would have been so hard not to say, you just told me I can't think.
Yeah, and I'd just be like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, what hoop do you want me to jump through at this point? To jump through the one that you told me to, and then you tell me I did it wrong. I try to jump through the other one that did. Yeah, it's so. At the very end of the whole thing, he's like, do you have anything to say? And I look over at Joe, and again, Joe is still not making any eye contact, feeling very uncomfortable about the whole situation.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you know, I do have something to say. Joe, and he looked up at me, I'm just like, Joe, here's the thing, man. I do kind of feel like the way I came at you this morning was kind of unfair because of the fact that I was more just exhausted and wore out from the job that I'm trying to do and everything else, and you were the one that I kind of took that out on. And I appreciate the fact that, and they also told me that you were going to give me my my commission for that day, but then they gave me the next day off, so I'm losing money immediately. So whatever it is that I would have made, that's not going to be enough to cover that gaping hole in my paycheck.
Yeah.
But you know, Joe, I feel bad because you were the one that became the person that I had to yell at, and I don't think that was really fair. You know, I was angry and upset, and I do appreciate you working with me on that whole thing. And so for what it's worth, I try to be as professional as possible. He cuts me off and says, no, Jim, you were as professional as you could be in that situation. He acknowledged that.
Yeah.
And so I got done with that whole thing. I look back over to Tony. He's like, you got anything else to say? I'm just like, nope. That's it. He's like, all right, you can go. I'm like, all right, maybe I'll see you Thursday. And then I left. I went home. I told Mom about that whole thing. I told Malia about that whole thing. And they're just like, why the fuck are you, you know, putting up with this whole thing? I was like, I don't have a choice. I need to bring in some money. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So it gets worse because the day off that I had, I'm in the backyard. We had a bunch of yard debris we had to clear away. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to use this day off to my advantage. I'm going to clean up some of the yard trimmings that we had in the back. I'm going to put them in some yard debris bags and get them all set up to get the backyard looking pretty. So I got my my cell phone in my pocket. I'm listening to Pandora. I'm listening to some comedy radio, sort of get me laughing, you know, get me through the day. And at one point, one of the comics I was listening to, probably like Louis C.K. or somebody, the bit comes to an end, and there's nothing. And I'm still working for a little bit. I'm just like, that's weird. Maybe it's looking for a signal. So I pull it out of my pocket, and it's like, you know, I'm wearing cargo pants, and the pocket's on the side of my hip, so it's not like, you know, in the general like work area. It's off to the side.
Yeah.
I pull it out. I'm just like, you know, why can't I get this thing to work? I try to use my fingers to swipe to do the little design to sort of unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't acknowledge that. And there's like this tiny little crack that goes from one side of the screen to the other.
Oh,
and
geez.
That fucked the whole thing up. And so I had to get a new phone. And
that
so, yeah.
Sucks.
And again, that's like the thimble's worth of that week alone.
Yeah.
We're getting to the end of this show, and I do appreciate you giving me some chance to rant.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, we'll save some for the next time that when James can grace us with his presence.
Yeah, his hoity-toity-ness.
Exactly. We'll save that for the next show, so.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about.
Oh, dude, as the days go by, more shit comes through, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, and the whole election that's going on, this shitstorm and...
Election? What do you mean?
The presidential
of
election?
President of...
The United States?
Of America? That's going on this year?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I really need to get cable. We're in Lancaster, we're in Amish country, so I mean, I get... Everything that
you get the woodworking channel.
Yeah, we have a radio. We have an AM only radio, and they only have like three channels. So, you know, it's rough out here. It's hard out here.
Oh man.
But again,
well,
I'm just gonna say, you know, for you, and you know, for your wife, who you just celebrated your anniversary with, or her birthday, was that what it was?
My birthday.
Your birthday. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two of you guys together are just, you know, it's sweetness and light. You know, I wish everyone listening to this podcast can have a relationship as beautiful and as amazing as the one that you and your wife have together. I mean, that's the one thing I would ask, that everyone actually have the privilege of having.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'm very, very lucky. And the way I've seen you and Malia together, I'm very thankful that you two found each other.
Thank you. She's going to smart up one of these days, and then I'm in a world of shit. Because, you know, A, she's super smart. She knows how to kill me in my sleep. She's told me this many times to my face. If I wanted you dead, I would be able to get up scot-free. Yeah, it would be a problem.
Yeah.
Problem solved. You're wiped.
Yeah.
You're done. So, either way.
Yeah. Well, Jim.
That's about it.
Thank you. Yep. We'll call this an episode, and we'll
dead dogs
get
and
together
assholes.
Again real soon. Yep. Cool. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.